Talk brunch, served hot.
Talk brunch live. I'm your host Rick Dara, bringing you WrestleMania 36 Night 2 post show. What a night it has been. I will be your captain tonight, and with me as always is my co-host, Mr. Dustin LaFrasia.
So, Gronk, I don't know what you did. Stop it.
Don't you speak his name. He's like the Voldemort of the entire freaking thing.
Okay, football. There you go. Whatever it is you do.
Yeah. We got Roxy here.
Otis Cockatiel! Yay!
Oh boy, it's been quite the weekend, quite the couple of shows that we've had going on. Definitely special stuff. Hopefully they don't do two nights every year from now on. I don't want them to think this was a great idea because, quite frankly, it was not. I think I'd rather just have a nice 8-hour binge. I know Roxy disagrees with me.
Oh yeah, of course I do. But I don't need to be going to bed at 7 o'clock if I don't need to.
She has wrestling stamina for days, though.
Yeah. I feel like there's pros and cons to it when you think about it, but I mean, yeah.
You think her hours are crazy. Man, you get to know her.
This bitch sees the sunrise every Monday.
I've seen the sunrise for a whole fucking week. It's been great.
Priya was in the chat room earlier, so now she's accounted for. I know we were, especially Roxy kept mentioning Priya. Out of concern, which you guys share that similarity because Priya was the same way about other brunchers. But
it says we give a shit about Priya.
Yeah.
I'm just glad she's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all good. Yeah, everybody's all right now. You know.
Oh.
WrestleMania was even all right.
Woo!
You know, what were you guys' thoughts overall on the two night event? Before we go into the match details, like now that we're at the end of the road and you're looking at the overall picture. What are your thoughts?
Whew. I mean, to have no crowd and had that split up into 2 days, I liked it. Because going into tonight, I'm like, wait a minute, there's still like, what, 8 matches? And I'm like, wait, I don't feel burnt out. Like, usually by the time we've gotten through the first 25-hour WrestleMania, I'm sitting there struggling by the main event. But after that bell rang for that last match, I'm sitting over here fresh, like, so I can kind of see where Roxy's coming from with wanting with having to be in 2 days all the time. But at the same time, there's something about that straight shot through WrestleMania. It's almost like a badge of honor when you get through it. So I can kind of like, it's the pros and cons there. But I mean, coming out of this WrestleMania, with what they've had to deal with, it still wound up being a banger.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I agree. I mean, it was good. The fact that it was over two nights. I mean, as a British fan, it benefited me. Big time, because obviously I'm used to WrestleMania finishing at like 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and like obviously you hang around afterwards and you talk to people about it, and then it's just like, oh my god, I'm fucking dead. I thought it was good. I preferred night one to night two, although there were really good elements in night two, and I also felt that some of the matches actually worked better without the crowd.
Yeah.
So there's good and bad in all of it. But at the end of the day, I'm just happy I was able to sit down and watch wrestling live with my friends and just chill and enjoy.
And yeah, I think they did good for what they had to work with. And luckily they had a few weeks of practice to just learn the ropes, you know?
Yeah. Kind of fine tune everything.
Yeah. I think that definitely helped them out. Because those first couple of days, it seemed like they can't possibly do a WrestleMania like this. Like, how would they survive?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it went from that to, well, what do you know? These bastards actually pulled it off.
They managed to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it proved a lot of people wrong as well. Because everyone was like, oh, this WrestleMania is going to suck. Didn't, in my opinion.
There's some people I've heard where they didn't even watch the shit. And I'm just like, you know what? Don't even watch WrestleMania next year.
Squires, what are your thoughts on Mania?
They did what they could. And I applaud them for that. Is it the Mania that the wrestlers deserved? Absolutely not. I think a lot of those guys got robbed. of their moments. People like Drew McIntyre, people like Braun, because yeah, they got the belt, but it's that hoorah, it's that rush. And if you listen and you talk to any of those wrestlers, that's what that moment is. You talk to people about WrestleMania and stuff, it's when they come out and they hear that crowd and that's what they thrive on. And those guys got robbed of that this year. I applaud them from going out. Was this better? No, by no means was it better. Would the crowd enhanced it? Of course it would. I'm not sitting here, I'm not trying to make it bigger than what it was. Is it a WrestleMania that I'm probably going to go back and watch? Probably not. Did they do some inventive different things? Yeah. Some of it was good. Some of it was just, I don't know, too weird. I don't know. It kind of pulled me out of it. But, I mean, overall, I thought it was good. The matches were good. But, yeah. I mean, what can you do? They did what they could.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have done like what other sports done and just said, ah, forget it, and we're just not going to do it this year, or throw it under the rug. And I applaud them for giving some product, you know, giving them the best to the people, you know, that they can at least enjoy it, you know. So
yeah.
It definitely wasn't my favorite WrestleMania, I'll tell you that.
I can tell. You didn't seem to be having much fun. So I commend you for even being able to ride it out.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you expect? You know what I mean? But I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, it's the greatest one. Come on. In 5 years now, are you going to go back and watch this WrestleMania? I doubt anybody is.
I might watch it tomorrow. What you trying to say? No, it's fucking...
Come on. But no, it was good. There were some really good matches. There was some really good storytelling. There were some good payoffs. But it just, you know.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Well, let's get to some of these matches here. We had the kickoff match, Natalia versus Liv Morgan, the one that you've all been anticipating this entire time.
Yeah.
Voting results coming in with Natalia at 20%, Liv Morgan at 80%. That's interesting that you guys went in that direction, because I definitely must have been in that 20%. I couldn't have imagined going with I mean, I don't know. What did I say? This wasn't even on the thing, right? This is like it came up last minute.
Yeah, this was a last minute one, pretty much.
Yeah, so when I voted, I never got to say anything on air. I believe I chose Natalia, though. But surprisingly enough, Morgan and Natalia, they get into a pinning combination, and Liv gets the upper hand. And then she does that shitty pose that she's been doing lately, like that little stupid pose that she came out with. Like, stop doing that. What the fuck are you doing that? Fuck's your problem. This is again a situation that's been the entire plague of the weekend, which is like, it's okay for people to lose, but then when you make them lose in like special ways where it's like, to top it off, you know, they look weak now. Natalia got outpinned by Liv Morgan in a pinning combination. You know what I mean? It couldn't have been something else that would have made that look less unbelievable. Natalia got outpinned.
Maybe she be the technical wrestler out of the whole women's division.
Yeah, I prefer to live with a hit or with a finisher. That makes more sense. But it's like that's the one thing that hurt me with this match. It was just like, wait a minute, you're telling me the only female graduate of the dungeon got out wrestled by Liv Morgan? Like, really?
It's crazy. It's crazy that happens, you know, because and then the way like she kind of sat up, she did what like someone does when they get pinned. Like, huh? How did it happen to me? Like, are you kidding me?
Like, bitch, why did it happen to you? Fuck you mean? Like, what?
Like it's someone from the like dungeon.
And Liv Morgan's really not known as a technical wrestler.
Not at all.
So it's like,
yeah,
like it's not just her getting the victory. Like, you have to make the victory look like it would make sense. Like. And Liv Morgan out wrestling Natalia in a pinning combination does not make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all.
But if she kicks her in the head and knocks her unconscious, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know why they even did that. It was just kind of like, this is just another case of burying somebody that doesn't need to be buried.
I mean, like, they give a fuck about Natalia once, like, every 2 years. It was just like, it's a shame. It's a shame that I'm not even surprised anymore.
And Liv Morgan... And Natalia really isn't Liv Morgan's story. It's her, you know?
Yeah.
this. So it's like, even if she lost, it wouldn't have wrecked her, because she would have had her moment later on the night. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, but they didn't want to be bothered with that, you know? They wanted to do what they did there. Very, very tragic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then the official pay-per-view starts. Stephanie again, new promo. NXT Women's title match, Rhea Ripley defending against Charlotte Flair. Let's see here. Voting results were Rhea Ripley with 73%, Charlotte Flair with 20%. Charlotte went over. Would you look at that?
Yeah, two-time NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, how exactly crazy did that happen?
I don't know. With the way that match was, I wasn't even mad at it.
No, and it just shows why they have so much confidence in Charlotte. Yeah. I mean, she's her dad.
Oh yeah, she's playing with tits. Like,
I mean, they could put all they want behind Becky, but I think Charlotte's 1A and Becky's maybe 1B. But
yeah, but the problem is that they'll use that and then burn everybody out on Charlotte. That's the problem. Like, because they'll push Charlotte and then be like, okay, it's still working, and they'll never listen to anything else besides it's still working. So that's where the backdraft is.
But it's working so convincingly that it would almost be impossible. I don't care how much is her brutality. Like, Charlotte is a killer, and she conveys it really well. And it just feels, it would be weird. Like, it's kind of funny. That's what should happen. It's like, that's a better story, that this cocky youngster thought that she was ready for somebody like Charlotte and started talking shit with her title. And then Charlotte had to step out of her lane to put her in her place. That's a way better story than this up and coming shit where, like, she just climbed the ranks and then stepped over someone who's basically been killing, you know?
It just shows Charlotte is just, she's so above everybody else. And I've always said that. That from the get go.
You've said that before, and even I said it. Like, I always thought she was like second or third to the other girls. And it's like, no, the more she gets into her character and just everything that she does, she's definitely like the top girl of the whole WWE by far.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I mean, I think there's anybody in women's wrestling better than Charlotte.
She's like literally the polar opposite of Bayley when you look at their work.
Oh, exactly.
And I hate to say it, but like whenever Bayley is doing a promo, it sucks because kind of like I brace myself, like if someone's going to hit me with an energy blast, because I'm not sure what's going to happen. It's like, oh God. And then she starts talking and it's really, really bad. Like, it's usually, like, you could hear her reading the lines and trying to remember what she was told to say. And sometimes when she makes it through, all of us are kind of like, well, she made it, you know?
Trying to sound mean instead of just being fucking mean.
You know, and there's people like that aren't a good promo. Not a lot of people like to say, but Trish Stratus was like that. Like, if you go back and listen to any Trish Stratus promo, she was so over it and nobody ever acknowledged it. But sometimes it was like, Jesus, what the fuck happened? You know, like just not comfortable in the mic, not comfortable with a mic in her face. You could sort of see that. Charlotte is one of the most believable people. I don't see where the character ends and the person begins when she's on the mic or when she's exactly fighting or anything. It's just like the whole way through, like, you know, that is who the person is. 100% convincing. That's someone going into this match a little bit. That's somebody who's very convincing when there's no crowd around. You know, she doesn't look like she's acting at all. She's always Charlotte Flair.
You know, it just hit me. You know what she reminds me of?
What?
More than her dad, Kurt Angle.
You think so? The aggressive part of him, maybe the aggressive part.
Just technically, her promos, her mat skills, everything. There's like not a weakness in her.
There's no way that anyone's feeding her those lines, right?
Oh, no way.
It has to be just coming straight from her.
The only thing logically it could be is you just tell her what the pathway is going to be, and then she finds her own way there.
Yeah, because you hear the way she works the crowd and how hot they get, and like you can see like the way she's able to be so full of herself is well done. And I guess what makes it stand out more is we have that happening and it just seems like she's surrounded by robots, is the best way I could put it. With all the other girls are just kind of like robots, all with these weird robot promos. This is one person who genuinely is feeling herself, not being trained to. And I like that a lot about her.
And just like Kurt, she's just as good as a face as she is a heel. Where some people aren't as good as a heel as they, like Randy Orton, he's not a good face. He's still a good wrestler. He's probably one of the best wrestlers in there. But he's not the best face in the world. And Charlotte can be a good face and she can be a good heel.
Yeah. And she makes a better heel though, but she can go either way.
And realistically, she could just dance in the middle and let the crowd decide.
Mm-hmm.
Because her promos, literally, she could cut the same promo on two different people. You're going to get either a face or a heel reaction, depending on who it is.
Yeah, and her face turns are always also convincing, like the character, because it's never like some people just suddenly act like an evil spell has been lifted from them. And it's like, what happened to you?
Big Show.
Yeah, I forget. I forget who, but whenever she's done it, you can sort of believe that the character went in that direction. Because I forget who it was in NXT, like one of her first face turns. Where like somebody was getting their ass kicked, might have been Bailey, and you probably Bailey, and she was getting jumped or whatever, you know, by heels. And I remember she got to like the top of the ramp and was looking back and just kind of had this look like, God damn it, shit, gotta go rescue this stupid idiot, you know. And then kind of reluctantly slid in and kicked ass, you know. It was kind of like the tweener style of face turn. You know, where it wasn't just like a full face turn where she's posing in the ring and everything. And I kind of like that. And then the fans slowly grow with it, which makes more sense.
Yeah, she always comes off as if she turns and helps somebody out. It's not of like, oh, we're all of a sudden best friends. It's like, just so you understand, I hate that bitch way more than I hate you right now. So, like, nothing's changed. Like, but yeah. I mean, yeah, these two put on a banger of a match. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Just as violent and physical as I expected it to be. What I liked was early on when Rhea hit that riptide, the way she hit it, it looked like more of a warning shot than anything like, hey, I can hit you with this. It was almost like it was like pretty much in a mental, like meant to make her respect her more than she had before this match.
You took it as a warning shot. I'm so in tune with current WWE's nonsense that I had a jump scare with that shit. It was like, No. It was just like, as soon as she hit her with that shit, it was like, because they like doing it. And you know what? I think that's one of the worst things ever to do. They should never do that again. Don't ever have matches where there's just a flash finish in the beginning. Those suck.
Yeah.
Nobody watches wrestling for that. So when I saw that first riptide in the beginning, I was like, I don't you dare. And then she kicked out. I was like, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, because in my head, I was like, that's usually, I think, what makes me enjoy some of these matches way more. I look at that from if I was booking that. Because if I'm booking that, that's a warning shot. But yeah, we don't know what they was thinking. God help us. But yeah, is I mean, even in loss, it capped off a fantastic run that Rhea's been having. Whether it was winning the NXT UK Women's Championship, a year later winning the NXT Championship. I mean, being the winning captain in Survivor Series and War Games. And the girl made it to WrestleMania and became the first NXT champion to defend the title on the stage.
Yes, absolutely.
So even in loss, I think she even said it on Twitter, after all this, she had her own win. Wasn't the win it could have been, but she had a victory on herself. But.
Yeah. A lot of cool offense in this too. Rhea hit like a, I don't know what I want to call it, look almost like a poison tiger bomb style move. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of cool.
Lots of high angle slams in this. You know, Charlotte did a brilliant job on working Rhea's injured leg. I like the different innovation. You can even hear the taunts and stuff. Like, she's like, get your hands off me. And she's kicking her and she's stomping her leg up against the rope. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, there were a lot of cool kick exchanges. I remember the one sequence where Rhea's on the ground and she doesn't bother to get up from the grounding position. She sort of, shuffles over and gives her like a grounded enziguri. I thought that was also really cool. Again, there was a lot of cool stuff here. Charlotte's moonsault getting countered by Rhea's upkick. She does like an upkick she comes off the top turnbuckle. Rhea hits an upkick. And Charlotte has a quick recovery. Like she sells it, but rolls into a spear for a two count. I thought that was a good sequence showing resilience on both girls' sides. So yeah, cool stuff all around here. Rhea,
yeah, their personalities really match too.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like it comes off as two girls who they would think you might even call it two. There were a few times during the match where they would lock eyes, and it looked like two people who were insulted that the other had the nerve to stand back up, and it just angered them. Like maybe that's just me reading into it too much, but I'm just saying. Like just,
I like when she said this ring is here because of me. I made NXT and she stomped.
Charlotte shit talking is amazing.
Yeah, but no, we can't have a WrestleMania where these.
I've had a commentary on this match. she was in the bedroom and I had the TV up kind of loud because I was doing something in the kitchen. And I get a text, what are you watching? And I go, I'm watching WrestleMania. And she's like, oh, it sounds like somebody's getting anal.
Oh, God.
There were times.
Her room was just, it
did. Don't touch me.
It did sound that way. I did thought that crossed my mind at that point. not anal, but like, you know, that came when it was Edge and Orton. But this, for this point, it just crossed my mind that it sounded like sex.
It sounded like there was no safe word.
Not to jump too far ahead, but Orton and Edge sounded like prison sex.
Oh my God, D-block. That was a D-block match.
Yeah, it sounded like the Oz.
Because keep in mind, between spots, I'm sort of piecing our setup together. So, like, I'm listening but not viewing when I know that, like, there's not something going on. And all I hear is, I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, God. But, yeah. I'm trying to think back to even say something like that, because that would have been a match where you hear some shit like that. But... I loved you. Oh God! But no, ladies opened up hot. That was
absolutely.
That was a hell. I think they need they need to work the NXT championships and the WrestleMania more often.
Because again, have these NXT girls going over like big stars like that. Like with Becky, imagine if this would have gone with one of them going over Becky, the other one going over Charlotte with the NXT girls, Shayna and Rhea. It would have been ridiculous. You know,
shit, that would have been some unpredictability, which is something this company needs a lot more of. With Shayna, I saw it coming just because I know how they are with when you're somebody's friend.
But unpredictability within reason, you know.
Yeah, I mean unpredictability. A bitch that wiped out the whole chamber, beating one more girl. It's not as black and white as you would think. I mean,
yeah, I guess. Well, she still has time.
Yeah. It's not like either of these two feuds realistically are just going to end on one match.
Yeah. After this, we had a singles match. I think this was Roxy's favorite match, right? It was Lashley versus Aleister Black.
Half of this match.
Mr. No Fucking Charisma Lashley.
It was Aleister Black and his kick-ass jacket versus Sweaty.
So Lashley runs into the black mass and gets his ass kicked.
After Lana's dumbass.
Yeah. And
yo, Lana was beyond stupid. Like, there's nobody in the arena and this bitch screams, "No, spear!"
Like, usually what Rick said, it's usually said about Matt Lashley.
Well. Anyway, 25% of you for Lashley. 75% of you went black.
So. Once you go black,
you knew how you worded that.
You know, so not that much of a difference between you all and Lana at the end of the day.
All I don't say is I wasn't disappointed.
But Aleister Black, this is like, how is this one getting the most attention? But Aleister Black looks like he paid to grind his Diablo character to level 65. Like when he came out, he had like the what the fuck? Like he had the spiked armor.
Yeah,
you know,
it had two big ass spikes on his shoulder. And the hood.
He had a little floating dragon to the right of his shoulder. You know, his whole skill bar on the bottom had different shit said to it.
It looked like before he came out, Rita threw a staff down right before him, and then he's like,
he came out as this warlord character. And I've said this about this guy for years. I have nothing. He looks good in the ring. It's everything before the ring that's really bad. And I know what they're going for, and I understand it, but it's like the guy himself can't deliver. He doesn't look like that guy. Like, he doesn't look like a fucking warlord or a guy who should be, like, carted up. Like, what do we call that? Like, levied up from the fucking thing that he's laying on or any of those other things that they have him doing. Because when he talks, he doesn't sound like that kind of a guy. He doesn't have like a dark gothic intimidating sounding voice. He just sounds like, you know, just some guy.
It only kicks in when he gets really angry, which shouldn't be the case. It should be like that the whole time.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. He's great in the ring, but he's not everybody's a fucking coffin guy. Just because you like somebody doesn't mean you have to give them a coffin or a staff. You know, and that's something I noticed in WWE. That, you know, when they really like you, because they'll give you a coffin, a staff, or a cape. You know, it's like, oh shit, they like you. It's like, come on. He's just like, if he just came out and wrestled, like I'm sure he would have done in the indies or anywhere else, and didn't do all that other stuff, it would be perfectly okay, because he's good enough.
He just walked out.
He's good enough to be able to carry himself with that. And then it's like, it gets excessive. Like, I started to get used to, all right, they want to really cart this guy up. And remember, I told you on a past show that thing was designed for the Undertaker. and that they were like at the backstage place, and Triple H was just like, hey, you want to use this? No one's using it. You know, it was one of those things. It was like when you go into a garage with your dad, like, hey, you want this? I'm going to throw it out. You know? I swear to God, that's how it happened. Like, they literally, he was walking past with him, and he was like, hey, man, you want that? You know, and he so it's like literally it was designed. So it's not like I'm just like, you know, just assuming it was designed for that kind of character. And it's like, this guy shouldn't be that character, at least in my opinion, you know. And if you are going to have him be that character, you got to give us more than just that he gets fucking carted out like that. The only time I ever really enjoyed that thing was, I forget what Raw was, he got previously beat up and like he got carted up all fucked up.
Stumbled off it.
He was like, ah, and he still did the getting carted up part.
Hey, so do you think they were in the back and they found a box that said WCW Mortis, and they were like, oh, let's give this to Aleister.
It's just a box of stuff. I forget what Booker used to say, that there was a legit box of shit back there. It's just like, take something from a box of shit.
They found all of Mortis' stuff, and they gave it to Aleister Black.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's only like, going on eBay otherwise.
Yeah, I think that even in WCW, Steiner's his freaking chainmail, I believe, was just in the box of stuff. And he was just like, fuck it.
That's awesome.
You know, literally, it's fucking... So it's like that. It's just crazy when I see him get carded, because he doesn't look like that. And they've done that with a few people. Goldberg's smart about it. Or at least he used to be smart about it. Because the Goldberg that got popular didn't talk. You know?
Yeah.
Because, once he starts talking, you start realizing that he sounds less like a Goldberg and more like a Bill. And you're like, ah, that's how he sounds? Like, he sounds so everybody. There's no uniqueness to his voice. Like,
get excited. By God, it's Bill!
But you could tell that they knew that, because at the time, of freaking World Class had great, great freaking bookers that had that level of insight. They would hear somebody and they weren't shy about telling him, nah, his voice sounds like shit. Don't let this guy ever fucking talk. That's the kind of stuff that needs to be said. Some people, the silence is better, you know, not you for nothing.
World champions sound like your neighbor.
Yeah, he sounds like a neighbor and his name is Bill.
Yeah. Hey, you know? I got a new grill. You want to come over here and check it out? Good.
Yeah, he's a Bill, you know. It's a shame, because what surprised me was I was bracing myself for when I heard Ryback. I was like, oh, shit, you know, because he didn't really, the skip thing was a comic. He was doing like a cartoony sounding and stuff. But when I first heard him, I was like, oh, wow, the guy sounds like he looks. Like, they never had that before. Like, this is like a one in a million, because look at Brock. Brock doesn't sound how he looks. Yeah. Very rarely do you get that. They've had that twice so far in my memory, where a big guy sounded how he looked. Once with Braun and once with Ryback. They're two guys who, like, when you see them and they open up, you're like, yep, that's him. Big sounding, big scary sounding dude. He sounds like his face looks. That's, but it's like, it's not like that with the other guys.
Motherfucker sounds like his face.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side of that, kind of funny that we're talking about this from Aleister Black, the opponent being Bobby Lashley. I guess he does sound like his face.
Yep, low, sloping, and sweaty.
Yeah, you guys kept messing around in the chat about how sweaty this man is.
Yo, the match went on for 5 minutes. He was sweaty in 30 seconds.
This man could get Shane McMahon a run for his money.
Good. At least Shane had to do shit to get sweaty. No, that man was sweaty after the lockup. Like, how much effort did you put with that lockup to where you are dripping?
You, sir, are wet. I got wet. A towel down after brushing his teeth. What was that?
He's a towel down after brushing his teeth.
Maybe they shouldn't have put him in tights.
Jesus Christ. Right, give him some sweatpants or something. Like, let the man breathe. Maybe that's the problem.
By the end of it, they were sweatpants. Are you kidding? He's who you take your regular pants to when you want them to be turned into sweatpants.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, I need you to break these in real quick. Loosen them up.
Betty Swallocks.
And then it's just, I love my favorite part about this whole thing. If Lana is not the dumbest human being on the face of the fucking earth, this man is going for his shitty dominator. This bitch hops up and goes, no, spear, spear. Like, Aleister can't fucking hear you.
And the saddest part of all.
And he dropped him, backs up, waits. And I'm sitting there like, this man, how many times have we seen a jobber run at him and get knocked out? Come on, Lashley.
And the sad part of the whole thing is, having seen Bobby Lashley's shitty dominator, I can 100% relate with someone wanting to jump on the apron and go, no, no, spear, spear. Because I was right there with her. I didn't even think about it in like the kayfabe of the storyline. Like, I was just agreeing at the moment, like, yeah, yeah, spear. If you're going to do this, do a spear. His ugly fucking dominator, man. He ruined that move. Farouk is alive. Farouk is alive and will roll over in his grave. What was that?
Said, I'm surprised Farouk didn't come down the aisle. Was like, don't use that move no more. No.
That's what I said. I said, Farouk is alive and will roll over in his grave at that fucking Dominator. You know? That's the thing that he needs to say damn about. Look what he did to your move. I don't even see how it's the same move. They should have named it something else. You have a new
they
move
there. Just call it Sweaty. Sweatyplex. There you go. Has anybody if he doesn't drop you, you slide off his shoulder. Like,
he could have called it like something like the Blacklash.
And he only hit the dark February.
Look at that. I'm a little late, but there you go. The Blacklash. Keep it. I don't want it.
Never mind. Yeah. Never mind.
Go for it. Fuck it. Nope. We out here.
It's perfect. It's perfect. I love the name.
I didn't mean in my head. I didn't mean for it to come this way. I was like, oh, the lashing, but that wouldn't work at all.
No. But it could. It could.
No.
It could.
But I think Lana likes a bit of Blacklash.
But I think that the Blacklash is cool.
You know. Oh.
Then they could
and they give him all Alistair's gear.
This whole thing could have been Blacklash versus Black Mass.
Oh. Yes.
They now missed a whole opportunity to make this thing work.
And a Black Lightning match.
Mm-hmm.
Missed the trick.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, aside from that, Aleister Black looks good. You know, solid kicks is always very audible, especially with no crowd around. Nice golden moonsault. Shout out to Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. But, and his has always looked good. It looks almost identical to Kota's.
Yeah. So cool stuff there.
Like, even down to the body form and everything.
Uh-huh. And thankfully, the right person won. If we're going to go forward with somebody, it's like, they don't even have,
of course.
Like Lashley and Lana are like in limbo now, right? Like they did that one storyline and then they were done. You know, it's like, they just wanted to basically satisfy their freaking wrestling cuckolding fetish that they've had throughout the decades for every single married couple that has ever come through the company doors. They want to do that angle, right? Everybody loves it. Yeah. Oh, how, what if your wife leaves you? What if your wife leaves you? What if your wife leaves you? I was like, yeah. Okay. So next we had Dolph Ziggler versus Otis. What if your girlfriend leaves you?
Oh my God.
And yeah, it was what you would expect from the match. I mean, Ziggler is a little wasted on a match like this just because the two styles don't exactly, to me, work out very well. It's just a lot of hitting, brawling, really. I guess it makes sense that they're fighting over a girl. They don't want to do too much. This goes back to the SmackDown story with Deville, where it turns out that she's bad and that new GTV person reveals it. And she's actually now involved in the match. It's kind of funny. You're hearing her and Dolph backstage talking about how they want to like get back in the favor of Mandy. And then what do? They go out there and they start fucking with Otis. You know, I mean, Ziggler being in the match and Deville's out there using distractions and stuff. She distracts, she gets on the ropes, distracts Otis. So then Ziggler has the opportunity to low blow and, Mandy comes out and she winds up destroying Sonya. She hits her, I guess, finally ending Fire and Desire. Yeah. And then she low blows Dolph and Otis goes over with the caterpillar and the elbow. So finally, this guy who I've been saying for months now, they just shit all over Otis. They don't give Otis a break. They hate Otis's guts. They wish he were dead. They finally gave him something.
Yeah, a Mania win. And not even a tag team win. He got it by himself.
It got to the point that the man cried into his other friend's man boob.
But yeah. For what?
For his girlfriend.
I mean, for a Mania win.
Is that your payoff? You won at Mania?
Well, he won a Mania. Hey, he left with the girl. Remember, at the end, he left and he celebrated with her. He got to carry her. Right. He whisked her away in his arms like it was a honeymoon. And then,
He got a Mania win and he goes show with Caterpillar. You
know, they left Dolph Ziggler doing the Spike Lee. He was doing the please, baby, 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 please. Please, baby, 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 please, baby, 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 please.
I mean, come on. It could have been worse. He could have lost the cosplay HBK.
When you talk bad about Ziggler.
He's successful.
I love how JBL kept throwing out the two world championships. And I'm like, come on, JBL. Come on.
Let's look at this. I think they gave us a, is this a Ziggler thing? Oh, this is probably a Mandy Rose thing.
Christ.
Awesome. Hey, guys.
Oh, hey.
First of all, Otis, congratulations. You're victorious in your very first WrestleMania match.
Oh, yes, very first.
But that wasn't the only thing that turned out okay for you today. We saw a little
Pretty lady, okay. My peach, gorgeous peach. Yeah, I'm so loaded of emotion right now. I just want to explode. But right now, it's like, get the business done. We had a Hammond slam Dolph.
Oh.
Had to toss him around and give him the elbow, the whole oversized load, baby.
Yeah, he's getting a little excited right now.
And Mandy, was this the last of Fire and Desire?
Ooh. You know what? I think my actions speak louder. And at this point, Sonya got what she deserved.
Okay. And I think we should go get some steaks. What do you think?
Oh, yes, baby. On, extra rare. Oh, after you.
There's something else extra rare that you can get.
Oh, yes.
You get that sirloin, girl.
Have the steak afterwards. It's just going to slow you down, you know?
Always. And they rode off into the sunset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Broke didn't know Shoney's was open to celebrate.
Okay. At least it's open to celebrate. Don't be hating, all right?
Yeah, but in the kayfabe of the storyline, Ziggler already got to bang her, most likely, right? So he already did his deed. You know how he is. Yeah. Remember we had the Instagram girl who we played the video of years ago on here? The one that called him a fuckboy? We know he's a fuckboy.
Old Ziggler girl with her unkempt vagina, yeah. The hate she talked about it.
Did he? I don't remember that part.
Yeah, she talked about the fact that bitch my pussy clean. And I'm like, if you got an advertisement, don't you lie.
Oh, that's right. We did, when we had the screenshots of the tweets between them. And like when she was trying to have get him to come over, one of her bonuses was, you know, that she's nice and clean. It was like, well,
she's bitch like, I just got my pussy clean. Like, why you have to advertise that? Like,
what other way? That shouldn't be, you know, like a mani-pedi.
That shit should be all day, every day. Like, what?
You know, that was something special. But
it was like that commercial with those scrubbing bubbles that are just flying around.
I give that man credit, though, because like I said when we were on that episode, the fact that he tweeted or he PM'd her and he said, you know, I have a long day tomorrow. I could come hang out, but I can't put out. Like, to hear that from a fucking male saying it to the female, it was just so strange. Like, wow. Yeah.
Can't put out,
FYI, I can't put out, you thought.
Be gone, thought.
Oh, man.
Can't perform tonight, honey. Sorry.
There will be no overselling this evening.
Things are exactly what they seem.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the last man standing match here. Randy Orton versus Edge. And yeah, voting results here were 73% for Edge, 27% for Randy Orton. And Edge obviously goes over here. But the whole story of the way it leads to the ending is interesting because Orton's disguised as a cameraman and he slithers in for an RKO out of nowhere. And they don't show it that way the first time, so it's cool when they show in the replay that he was there as the cameraman. Because you're thinking, how the hell would somebody get RKO'd out of nowhere in an empty arena? But fear the cameraman.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I was like, the whole match, I was like, how did he do that shit?
Mm-hmm. And then the match starts, and immediately Flash RKO number two, you know. And then after that, you have a struggling Edge, and this is bleeding all over the performance center. Like, at one point, he tries to freaking hang Edge with weights or something in the gym room or whatever. It seemed a little uncomfortable. Given
tried to Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to go to, but she went there, so hey, you know,
somebody had to.
Yeah, it was like they it was definitely strange. But they fight all over the performance center, you know, they hit each other with everything. It's more of a brawl than a fight, but there are high spots like Edge with the diving elbow through the table onto Orton. They fought on top of a truck. There was a point where Orton countered a spear into an RKO on top of the truck, which I give them. That shit seems a little too scary. Like, there's no way to not fall and hurt yourself, you know?
I had vertigo watching them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, especially with the ref, it kind of feels like the ref at any point could accidentally, or if they step back too far, they knock the ref over and then he's dead. Maybe there's some sort of safety down at the bottom. I'm sure it has to be, right? Like, they'd be stupid enough to.
Or they were just literally constantly watching where their feet were. Yeah. That's the only other thing I can think of.
I wouldn't want to. I don't care. If I put you out like on a cliff of a skyscraper, would you be okay just because you're watching your feet?
I mean, fuck. We got to get the scene out the way.
Don't worry. I'm watching my feet as you start to like tightrope across that shit. Get out of here. No.
I mean, but then again, with Edge's history of being in high places, if it was anybody I trust up there, it'd be him.
Yeah. But
the referee wasn't paying attention through half of it.
Yeah. The ref seemed more like one of those things where it's like, I know he's going to do something to break the count up, so why would I even count?
Yeah. He tries to concerto him, but he tries to concerto Edge, but Edge winds up catching him with that submission. What the hell is that thing called?
It's basically an arm triangle choke.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like an Edge name for it, though. He has everything. He has his execution and all that other shit.
He literally just started using this thing when he came back. So it's like,
gotcha.
I think that was the second time he's used it. So.
Yeah, and he kind of chokes him out. And it's messed up because he is going to get the 10 count, but Edge has a dark moment. He has a brooding moment.
Where he went back to crazy Edge.
Yeah, where he stops the ref's count and then he concertos Orton. And he looks like sad afterwards, like he had to kill his friend.
He looked like he made Orton look at the flowers. Like,
yeah, he even kissed the body, everything. Like, it was sad.
You should have kissed Beth's body.
I thought that he was going to do that and then get up and hit him again with another concerto.
Yeah, I was waiting for the second one because I was like, knowing him, he'd get a second one in.
And me.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
But he just, like, he ended it honorably.
Yeah, they kicked the shit out of each other in this match.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless they plan on using Edge regularly, like every Monday, a cool finish to that would have been, like, if after he won, like, just from the exhaustion of it all, he just fell back off of the truck. Like, obviously have some safety there as an angle,
ooh,
but he just fell back off the truck. And then there's no word on what happened to Edge for a while. Like, that would have been a cool way for that whole thing to go out.
Very dramatic, yeah. And you're always thinking about it till you see him again.
Yeah, because it looked like he was gone. Like he was sort of stumbling a little after. That's no way. They're gonna have him like fall back. That's gonna be it. You know, like sort of bittersweet. But no, they went with a feel good moment, which is cool. Mm.
There was one moment in this match that made me laugh because it was so stupid and ridiculous. It's something like you would do to your brother or something. It's when Randy was in that office chair and Edge got up on those bars and he started swinging and then he leaped off and landed on his...
Yeah.
That was great because he looked up in my head. If that was me, I'm like, what the fuck is that up there?
I'm like...
I wouldn't even think I could jump off that. I'm like, put that up there.
Why didn't you just kick him or clothesline him? It's like this... Why would you do that? That was just so stupid.
Hey, fuck it, it's there.
Like, that should have been on Fail Army, not on WrestleMania.
Gotta have fun with it, man.
Right, that was creative. Sometimes you gotta get a little innovative. I mean, for God's sakes, he swung off the freaking weight set and, like, sent on them onto the chair. I mean, at that point, all bets are off.
Talking about, yeah.
More of WrestleMania than any other WrestleMania wasn't in the ring this year.
Yeah, a lot was outside.
Yeah.
Because they could.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They could. You imagine if you went to WrestleMania and then you paid to watch two movies and then a backstage Raw. People would have been pissed.
Yeah, well, that's essentially what they gave was movies. If this isn't over by next year, WrestleMania is essentially going to be like Final Fight. You're going to have the guys walking on the street kicking barrels and eating apples.
Yeah, this was borderline WMAC Masters.
Damn. Oh, he brought it back. There's so many people who are going to Google that now.
They're going to confuse it. Like, oh, what? Is this a Mania match? Oh, dear God. Who's the Liu Kang guy? What the heck?
Shit.
I can't believe you. Oh, my God.
How dare you?
To think that used to be a thing.
Oh, God.
You watch that Boneyard match and then watch a WMAC Masters and be like, hmm.
Yeah, they definitely went out of their way to do a bit of directing here. You know, but at least Orton Edge wasn't too overproduced. You know, it was just a good backstage brawl.
Yeah, that was a traditional.
Mm-hmm. Which is what they needed. So then we get the Raw Tag Team title match. Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford defending against Angel Garza and Austin Theory, with Zelina Vega as the manager in what I would call a throwaway, throw it right in the fucking garbage match.
Because there was no way in hell Angel Garza and freaking that guy who gets beat up by Ciampa was winning this match.
Even though 27% of you thought that there would be. 67% of you had your wits about you. 7% of you thought it would get thrown out. And Street Profits went over here. Which, yay. Again, no surprise. It was like a filler. I get it. They wanted to... I would have rather them put something there where we're not sure of what's going to happen.
Yeah. It shouldn't be like a guarantee. We know there's no way this isn't happening.
Yeah, but the more interesting part of this was that afterwards they beat the hell out of the Street Profits and Zelina winds up super kicking Montez Ford, I believe, right? And then...
Yeah.
And then Bianca Belair runs in. And she does the save. And she beats the hell out of Zelina Vega. And takes her out. And she's now, I guess, with the Street Profits. And with her husband, right?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Roxy? Montez Ford, Roxy? Because Roxy was like, that ain't her husband.
I see a three-way tag match coming between the three of them. Or six of them.
Six-man tag, yeah. Could be.
Six-man intergender.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they could do it.
Was Zelina Vega going for an Evil Lyn attire tonight with her stupid crown and skull shoulder pads?
It's very possible because she's a heavy cosplayer. She plays all kinds of Marvel and DC characters all the time. If you look at her Instagram, like, she's always looking for like different old school characters and shit to portray.
Yeah, her first Rumble appearance, she was Melina, I believe, from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, because that crown that she had on was Evil Lyn-esque, and I was like,
That's pretty cool. I didn't even notice.
It wouldn't be surprising at all.
I was taking the shoulder pads. That's definitely something I would rock.
Well, here's the backstage Street Profits.
Yeah, go ahead. Champs. Get a cross look. Champs. Yeah.
WrestleMania, we walked in and we walked out.
Uh-huh.
Still, WWE Raw Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits. We cannot forget my better half. The strongest that can deadlift over 400 pounds.
Say words.
The smartest. Has a degree in bachelor's at the University of Tennessee.
Okay.
The quickest. Everything that you can possibly name in a possible athlete. Oh my gosh. What other accolades can we go over? Can we name them?
Okay. You talk too much. And I can do it myself.
You talk too much.
Just like with Zelina, which I don't know what she was thinking when.
Right, right.
With you, because can't I put the hands on my man but me? Because can't nobody do it like me or better than me?
That's right. That's
so right. I did what I had to do. And I guess now I'll be seeing you at home. Check them out.
Dag, fam. She don't want the smoke. She is the smoke.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah, I'm
going
to learn tonight.
Hey, man, some of that post-mania quiz, man.
Why not, right? It's the best time to celebrate. It's a time of celebration.
There you go. It's a celebration, bitches.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, what was the next thing on this card here? Bring back up my card. Still learning my buttons here. Okay, we got the SmackDown Women's Fatal 5-Way match. No longer Fatal 6-Way, thanks to Dana Brooke being out of it. And we have a lot of voting results here. Give me a minute, bear with me. Voting results for this are Sasha Banks with 53% of you thinking that she was going to be the upset. Bayley retained with 20%. Tamina, 13%. Lacey Evans with 7%. Naomi, 7%. Winner being Bayley, retaining the title. And there was a bit of confusion here. They teased what we talked about, right? They didn't do it. They just kind of dipped their toes in there. They were like, hey, you know what? Maybe. I don't want it, though. Like, I'm not interested. I feel like I've already seen enough of this frenemy bullshit between Sasha and, like, everybody. Like, it's not even about Bayley. Yeah, like, it's just that they've done that storyline with almost all of them. We're like, just please stop. No.
And then
more.
With it, it's more with the Sasha and Bayley one because we've seen them tease them pulling that trigger for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
Either do it or don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tamina gets eliminated in a pile-up. I knew she was going to be the first one out. Why not, right? I don't even know what the fuck she was doing in there. Was no one else we could pull?
Yeah, I guess need somebody there.
Tamina's going to get eliminated.
Hmm. You have to be impressed with Tamina for being 67 years old and still hanging with those chicks.
Wow.
For shit. Dude.
Damn.
I didn't know if that was her. If they dug her dad up and put a wig on him. Holy crap, she's old.
She is looking like.
Because I thought it was Nyla Rose.
Because she's actually become a little bit. I said that when she first came back, and everybody was like, "Okay." I'm like, "No, not okay." She fucking looked like she's gotten big. You know?
She's gotten big.
She got a little chunky.
Yeah, no, she's definitely not like most girls.
She's just rough looking.
Yeah. You can see the lack of time she's in the ring and her movements.
When you gotta buy your makeup at Sherman Williams, it's pretty rough.
Do you guys remember when, and it's not even like a time, it's just a whole Tamina era. It's the only time that I ever enjoyed her. When for some reason, and it goes to show how out of touch, I guess, They always say that the people in the, they always say that the people in the back are no longer people who used to be in the business, whereas before the people who controlled everything were former wrestlers and former people in the business that had better insight. This is one of those examples of things not making sense. So do you guys remember back when instead of using wrestling boots like you're supposed to, Tamina used to wear Timberlands? So like every time she kicked somebody, it looked like she was kicking the utter fucking shit out of them. And you could tell, and after a while you could tell that it wasn't even selling. Like she just, first of all, she doesn't know how to fucking pull her super kicks. And secondly, she's wearing Tims. So she was literally fucking, and it was happening for like a long, long time where like I would see people get hit.
Timberland prints on their foreheads when they would leave the match.
And I remember like she would hit people and the way their body would flub, like, wow, it's almost like Dolph Ziggler's taught them. As I, after a while, I was like, wait a fucking minute. It's like, you're kicking with Tim's out there. And they were, and no one was stopping this. So I thought she must just be really good or they're selling. But then eventually she kicked Nikki Bella's tooth out. And I remember that's where like the whole fucking gravy train stopped of wearing, of having the Tim's in the ring and super. I'm trying to see if she's back to Timberland kicks. Cause I noticed that, on SmackDown when she came on, she was kicking her. I was like, oh God, she's a killer. Be careful with Timberland girl over here. Yeah, she wears her wrestling boots when she goes out.
Fucking Tamina Lynn over there.
Yeah, man. Be careful with her. Sloppy. She's always been really fucking sloppy.
Yeah, like, I mean, how many times has she blown her knees out with her splash? Like, because she never just goes flat. She always goes knees first.
Yeah, it's the ugliest version of the splash I've ever seen.
Like, you gotta, you gotta commit. Like,
she splashed like Kamala did. All knees.
Yeah, it is an ugly, ugly splash. Remember the, and her promos are the worst. Remember the time that she had she repeated exactly what the person before her said? It was like a promo, like four or five girls were in the ring, and then someone said something, and she just said the same thing. And it was like, what?
Like, but you think we didn't catch that?
The cake. Stasis mentioned the cake.
That could be central.
Oh my God. That was one of my favorite. We have to find. I looked for that and I haven't been able to find that.
It's hard to find.
It's hard to find. But I just remember I lost it. That was, it's funny because I wonder whose idea it was, but I just remember that moment. Who was the other girl?
It was, oh shit. I can't even remember.
She just
overshadowed it.
It could have been the one that used to be with EC3 back in the old shitty NXT. She went on to Lucha Underground.
Damn.
Yeah, I forget her name.
I think she was the girl who wanted, what was it, Maxine?
Maxine, right. Right.
Maxine. Yeah, because I always remember we always described her as the girl who wanted being Katrina in Lucha Underground.
It was her, Caitlyn, or somebody. This is old NXT. Remember when NXT was a cartoony NXT and they used to be weird stuff? It wasn't like the NXT we have
now. NXT GT, yeah, I remember.
They had them back there, and that's when Darren Young and Titus O'Neil were kind of, even though they were a tag team, they started to feud over Tamina.
Yeah. You could see like the cracks were forming.
Right, right. And I remember one of the girls did that thing, like where someone has a cake, like she'll dip her finger in it and like, you know, just suck the tip like all sexually. And then like she walked off camera and they were just like, damn. And then Tamina came along and she was like, I can be sensual.
And she grabbed a handful and cussed
half the fucking cake and stuffed it in her mouth.
I just packed her face with a cake.
Oh my God, I almost fucking lost consciousness from laugh because I just didn't see that shit. Because her voice, it was like really like, I can be sensual. And then she went, I was like, what? Who fucking did this? Who did this?
She put me off cake for weeks. Oh,
she fucking ate it.
The only thing that would have been better if you would have licked her fingers afterward, because that shit would have been magical.
I want to know what would have happened. I want to know what would have happened with that angle, though, because remember, freaking Darren Young bought her a coconut
tree. And Titus stole it and gave it to her.
And Titus said it was from him. And then that's when they got called up to SmackDown and fell apart.
Oh, God.
Because I kind of feel like if they would have gotten to continue with, as bad as that NXT show was, somehow a Samoan would have got hit with a coconut again.
Yeah.
So when I saw that they were giving her the coconut tree, I was so fucking excited because it was like, oh my God, something's gonna happen. They're gonna fight over her, and one of them's gonna pull a fucking coconut out and go to swing. Gotcha. The other one's gonna duck and clunk. Oh no, Tamina! I was so fucking ready. My body was ready for that angle, you know. And it was like, no, they got called up. But yeah, Tamina had more time here than on the actual show because they pile up and eliminate her.
All of them. And they all do their moves on them.
Mm-hmm. Who was eliminated next? It was, wasn't there?
It was, Naomi?
Yeah,
it was Naomi. Naomi was gone next.
Mm-hmm. What was her? Who covered her? I don't even remember who the fuck covered Naomi.
Yeah, I want to say it. I want to say it was Bayley or Sasha because they went on kind of like a tear of cutting people out of this match.
It was Sasha. It was Sasha.
Sasha.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because Sasha tapped her with a bank statement.
Yeah, she
tapped out. Yeah, she had a bank statement. Right.
Little Sasha got rid of her. Yeah, and then there's a point here where the miscommunication tease we were talking about earlier comes in because Bayley accidentally takes out Sasha. She's sort of going for like a running, jumping knee in the corner, and like Lacey dodges out of the way, and she winds up clipping her with this. And then afterwards, Sasha, of course, is upset. And you can actually hear the arguing, which is great because she's like, I've always had your back. And I've always had your back. You know, it was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. And then, you know, during all this, it's an opportunity because Lacey, thanks to them not getting along, gets to lay in her women's right. And
That was good.
She clocked her foot. Like, she hit Sasha like she showed her a chicken nugget.
And it looked like it looked like it was going to pretty much be game over for their friendship. But Sasha manages to hit Lacey with a sneaking backstabber to allow Bayley to go over here. Yeah, and afterwards,
that garbage thing they called, they have the nerve to call a finisher.
Yeah. Yes.
Like I'm insulted by that. I'm insulted at the fact I've even called a finisher. It's so fucking ugly.
What, would you prefer her to do her old one?
Yeah. Because at least a belly to belly at one point was a finisher, and not fucking put my knee, put your face on my knee and then lean forward. Like,
She's trying to get the move over. You know, sometimes things don't work. Remember, there was an era where Chris Jericho thought he could get over the Miz's skull crushing finale before the Miz existed. You know, and he was trying really hard. And that's the thing you got to be careful about with Jericho. He always tries moves that don't get over. That's the one thing I like about him. Now he does the Judas effect, which is almost worse than the fucking when he had the skull crushing finale.
It's fucking look better than whatever the fuck Bayley.
The only time he was able to get a new move over was the Codebreaker. Because that came very late in his career. He had short hair by the time he was doing that. But all these other things he comes up with, don't do it. And this is definitely one of those things where I hope Bayley doesn't become one of those people that just keeps trying different moves.
Like, just stick with what's been working for you. Like,
yeah. Which I don't think either one of them will work. And that's why I'm saying I hope she's not going to become one of them. Because the Bayley to belly or whatever, that was sucks. How the fuck is that?
I mean, but at least somebody out there has actually had a belly to belly as a finisher, not whatever the fuck that thing is.
But
like, I still to this day don't know what it is.
But it wasn't a little girl, you know? Like, at the end of the day, is she really taking people out with that? Is strange, you know? And the other one's strange, too. Both of them are weird.
You know? Like I said, the only difference is at some point, a belly to belly is not convincing. At no point has whatever that thing been.
Yeah, pretty much. They have a thing up here. What is this? Bayley has a message for Paige. Why? Is she going to feud with Paige next? Did they fix Paige's neck too?
At this point, they're two and two.
They have Dragon Balls over there? How the fuck's everybody coming back now?
You know, little dead day running around.
Yeah, like, what are you
around healing guys? People?
You guys are doing some unworldly politicking, apparently.
Excuse me, Bayley. Have a moment.
The fuck?
So tonight, the odds were obviously stacked against you after this match was made by Paige, but you still were victorious and you retained your SmackDown Women's Championship.
Ah, yes, I did. Go get Paige. Tell her right now. Bring her up on the Titantron. Go Skype her. Go FaceTime her, because that's the only way she likes to communicate, right? Right, Paige?
She's right.
Wow.
God, that was awkward.
That was horrible.
Ugh, what the fuck was she doing at the start? Did she buffer at the start of that promo? Like,
I don't know what happened there.
I think she was flooded.
Bayley loading.
Yeah, that was weird.
Show, talk about some ha! Like, what the fuck are you in the middle of a beam battle on Dragon Ball? Like, calm down.
Oh, man. Bayley.
I think she had the same problem that your laptop did.
Holy shit.
She's like, oh god!
Be remuted.
No, I think the video must have kicked out or something there, right? That wouldn't have made sense for that PD. The end there. Let's see.
Huh? Anyway, yeah. It's an open invitation. I would have whooped you too, Kayla.
Oh, you were right. She was buffering.
Tell Paige that.
But it was actually buffering, not her.
What was your question?
I can't believe you guys thought it was human before you thought it was technology. That's how little faith you have in a fucking promo. If you
didn't know, it's believable.
My best friend, which means like that's like 100 people versus me, because there's like that's a lot. It's a lot of stress. I've had a big year. Yeah, you're welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Say, what was that?
Congratulations.
Thank you. How long have I been champion again? I lost count. There's so many days.
She drunk.
She's Bailey. That's actually one of the better Bailey promos, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not saying much.
Which isn't sounds, but it's not saying much.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, I didn't realize it, but yeah, they said, like, it's only been, 175 days? And I'm like, Jesus, I'm going to need you to not brag about 175 days, all right, when we got 365 over on the other show. Like.
So, next is the Firefly Funhouse. You know what? I'm going to try to just get into the rational part of this first. So let's look at the voting results here.
Oh, I thought you were going to the next match then.
Oh, okay. 29% of you, 29% of you went with John Cena, 71% of you went with The Fiend. I think The Fiend won? He won,
yep,
right?
Yep, Fiend won.
How can he win?
John Cena didn't get up, so The Fiend won.
The last thing he did was he hit him with the mandible claw and then John Cena disappeared, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bray counted three for The Fiend. And The Fiend won.
And that's the end of John Cena. Is that how they kill him off?
I mean, maybe.
Because he's going to be busy, right? It makes him even more scary. He made John Cena disappear. Imagine you're a child seeing that shit.
Oh, I'll fuck you up right there.
Your hero's gone. You can't see him.
A kid's Christmas just got ruined.
Literally can't see him.
I see what you did.
Oh, this was fucking nuts.
You'll never catch him in the next man's sweater, but you may catch him in his last persona's clothes.
It was just brilliant from the get-go. As soon as he came in and he went in with the "you can look but you can't touch,"
oh,
I was like,
God.
Oh no,
they just started going down the line of shit.
Yeah, they did all you kinds of then. Crazy stuff to him. They turned him into the ruthless aggression prototype. They went
to Thuganomics. He was even in the NWO.
They went on a Mania ride. And yeah, him lifting weights. What was that, the Saturday Night Slam segment?
That they
he became the doctor, like you said, of Thuganomics, which that was fucked up because he basically said, that if his lyrics is his only advantage, that unlike Husky Harris, it's a weight that he can manage. And it was like, wow. Yeah.
It killed me when the Vince puppet said, "This is good shit."
Yeah. And then one of the coolest moments, I think, was we get old school Bray. Like, we get to actually hear I kind of like to think of as the real Bray, like underneath all of the games and shit. And so we get the real Bray there, you know, and he's on his knees. At one point, he's telling Cena 6 years ago when he finished him with the chair, he made the wrong choices, flashing back and forth between the past and present as he's doing this. And he takes a swing to finish him to make the wrong choice again, but he kind of disappears. That's when they did the part you guys are talking about where he become Bray Bischoff. Bray Bischoff.
And they went all over the place.
John Cena in the NWO, and then it was really weird. It was really, really strange. And when that ending happened, the mandible claw, it cuts to Titus O'Neil, and he's like, "I don't know what I just saw." I got a question. Was Titus O'Neil there before? Like, did I miss a Titus O'Neil part?
Basically, that other guy who used to be there, who we don't give a shit about, he won that belt that's right, only fucking right, truth right, is right, around, right, and then Titus right, showed right, up, right, and then we got right, a credible
I
host.
Stopped, so. I was not looking anymore at the things with those characters. Like, so I didn't, I paid yeah. no, I purposely, yeah. I took that shit as a commercial. It could have been a Snickers commercial. So I know what I missed then. Because I didn't think that... Because all of a sudden, it's a Titus. I was like, what the fuck does he have to do with this?
Yeah. Titus has been there for a good bit before. Titus has been there, I think, for at least a match or two.
Yeah, no, I had no attention whatsoever when it comes to the backstage bullshit.
Yeah.
All right, well, that leaves one final... What was that?
I said the one thing I got from that is I really miss Bray Wyatt.
The original?
Oh, yeah. When he started doing those promos, I was like, oh, God, that was so good. Like, that was like everyone just took that for granted, him rambling and stuff. But I was like, that's just really, really good promo right there.
The promos were always fantastic with him.
It's not really gone, though. I feel like it's incorporated into this new aspect of the character, which is how you make good wrestling characters.
He's got puppets. I just don't like it as much as the old one.
Yeah, but the problem is they ruined the old one. So yeah, it's like, you shouldn't even go back to it at this point.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, but what I liked about this the most was you could tell they just told Bray, okay, whatever the fuck you want to do. Just make it weird, have fun, And like it went all over the place. Like it was absolutely nuts.
It did. I give them credit for that. You know, there was definitely show. I told you they were going to be as creative as humanly possible. I told you guys.
Yeah.
I said, this company is going to do what they can to make this work.
Gonna hate on it. Like I said in the chat, I mean, Jim Cornette shot us.
I accidentally pressed the Bailey button again. That's awesome.
Oh, God.
She scared the shit out of me, too, because she appeared.
Don't do it again.
Yeah, I won't do it again.
Anyway, but yeah, you said in the chat room, like, Cornette's going to bitch, but let's be real. At this point, who cares?
I mean, there's lots of people. I mean, Dave Meltzer's going to hammer the crap out of that.
Oh, fuck Meltzer.
I'm just saying, there's people that are going to just absolutely despise
yeah.
all that.
But those people need to understand that it's not all of their word is not gospel.
No.
Like, we're allowed to like this if we want to like it.
It was definitely unique. A lot of work went into it, and there was a lot of interesting Easter eggs. And, it worked for it. You know, it worked. I can't really say much else about it. I can't judge this as a wrestling match because it really wasn't. You know, it was
it wasn't segment. Meant to be.
You know, it was a segment, and they did something different, and that's fine. So what? They did something different, and it actually worked. I'm sure it got people talking one way or the other, and that's really what they want. They don't give a fuck. Exactly. As long as you get people talking about something, it becomes a topic, people are going to look into it. You know, I think it was a smart move, and good for them on that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the WWE title match with Brock Lesnar against Drew McIntyre. Yeah. So this starts off aggressive with Drew hitting that early Claymore before being taken, of course, to Suplex City with an F5 added to the end of it. But good old Matt kicks out at one. So Brock Lesnar tops it off with a second F5. So he kicks out for two, tops it off for a third F5. And it's a kick out again. And then it's back to chaining Claymore as you get, I believe it was the fourth Claymore that took out Brock Lesnar.
He hit basically two more.
Right.
Yeah.
And then finish Brock.
And I don't know. I really don't have much to say. I think I'm at the point now where Brock Lesnar and Goldberg can go away for like good. I don't even need to see them as a special attraction. I used to always say, it's good as long as they don't have the titles. Keep them in there, but put them in somewhere in the middle of the card, especially if I don't have time. No, I take it back. Now just be gone. Get out of here. Like,
yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
The matches are no longer entertaining. You know, for a guy who was a wrestler and came from a wrestling background and shit, I'm really just tired of seeing finisher spamming. Every match, no matter who it is, it's like, if it's Goldberg, it's a bunch of spears. If it's him, it's a bunch of F5s and suplexes. And then we have McIntyre, who's capable of much more. And now he was reduced to just Claymores, which is a good move, but now you're basically just overusing it. So I don't want that to be the thing. And I don't want that to be what they're going to start doing. I don't want McIntyre to be someone who now picks up the shitty habits of these past champions. I don't want to see McIntyre next month fight somebody and hit him with four fucking Claymores. I'd like to see some wrestling. And it was cool when they did that once or twice. But you know, now you have a generation of people that are growing up watching wrestling that their perception of the main event is a bunch of big motherfuckers hitting each other back and forth with just finishers. That's stupid. And I've had enough of it. You know, and now it's just, before I always just said my issue was the title. Like, you have the title. And you shouldn't have it when there's guys that are working the ass off traveling around the world, more at risk of catching virus and disease than you, while you're at fucking home. You should just be a special attraction. Back in the 90s and the 80s, when people came around, they didn't have old titles like that, you know. So go ahead.
The worst thing for me about this match wasn't the finisher fest that we had. It was the fact that I wish that Drew could have had his moment in the sun, like. A proper WrestleMania moment. I know, obviously, given the circumstances, we couldn't have had that, but I so wanted there to just be an audience there just for a split second, because that's what they all do, isn't it? That's
what it's there for. Everyone should have gotten their moments, and no one did. Like Squire said earlier, a lot of their stuff was basically failed, and that sucks. That really sucks that happened, as far as the moment that they get. We got those moments, but how do those moments look in highlight reels in the future?
Exactly. You know, and that's the problem. That's the unfortunate problem they couldn't avoid.
Yeah, are they going to surpass the test of time with those moments?
Sadly, not at all.
And all the championship matches this WrestleMania, it was like somebody put in a cheat code for finishers and specials, and that's it.
Like, the only thing that made this one tonight better was that Brock hit another move besides his finisher. That's upside, which is not even much of an upside, but if you're looking at the two matches, that's the only other thing you could put over it.
Brock was no better than Goldberg, because we know Brock can put on a match.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why didn't. I mean, he can do it. Goldberg's a different story, but he's no better than Goldberg. They both just kind of just crap the bed with, and in WrestleMania, your championship matches should be, that's what WrestleMania was for. You know, you look at Rock and Austin and Shawn Michaels, and it's just like the championship matches were the last thing on anybody's mind this WrestleMania, which is crazy.
Yeah, and it's a shame too, you know, and everyone kind of took for granted what was going to happen with the Drew one. I kind of just feel like it was time to take it off of Lesnar. Everyone knew that it was long overdue, and we finally do it, and even that has to be bittersweet, you know?
Yeah, I hate to say it. And the sad part about it is that it's like happy for him, but it should have been under better circumstances.
You know, there was a point where the championships felt like they had personalities and gimmicks of their own. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you would like certain titles more than other titles for different reasons. Certain titles meant different things. It wasn't that one was better than the other. Like the Intercontinental title used to be the workhorse title. You know, it was like what people, you would build your fucking career, your body of work as the Intercontinental champion. Some of your best shit would be when you were the IC champion. Wasn't Shawn Michaels and Razor the ladder match for the IC title?
Yeah.
You know, first time Rock and Austin ever fought each other was for the IC title.
Yep.
You know? You know, Ken Shamrock Rock feud, yet another IC title thing. If you look at anyone, the elevation through the ranks has always consisted of that Intercontinental title, and not just having it, but having a great run with it. It was almost mandatory that if you got the Intercontinental Championship, that meant that you were going to be putting on a crazy match. If you go back,
I remember Shelton Benjamin's first run as IC champion. There were times where I think I remember one Raw in particular. It was no announcement or anything. It was just like, hey, Shelton's defending in a four-way. And I'm like, wait a minute, you just throw him in a four-way? Just because that belt meant you were going to have to bust your ass just as hard as the world champions.
And Nitro did what they wanted to do as best as they could with the U.S. title, trying to be sort of that same way. And when you look back, since they love Goldberg so much, Goldberg's whole streak was on that U.S. title. He wasn't the world champion until like towards the tail end of that. He was carrying the United States championship. So these mid-card titles were a good way for someone to climb, and it was an inevitable path to the top. That being said, you know, every title had a personality. Thanks to people like Ric Flair and Sting, the big gold belt, the world, which later became the World Heavyweight Championship, the WCW title, that became a thing where it was like, you know, there was a prestige behind it. There's a history to it. You know, these titles that they have currently, they could just fucking throw them all in the garbage like they did the drunk Jeff Hardy title for all I care.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like they mean nothing to me. And it's funny because I remember being sad, like when they would combine or unify, if you will, certain titles and get rid of like the ones I like. Like, I didn't like them getting rid of the World Heavyweight title. That title has a lot of history, more than they can ever possibly be able to gather from their brand. And I always thought it was cool that, to me, that's one of the better things we got out of that WCW deal was that World Heavyweight fucking title. You know, we got the World Heavyweight title over here a second time because the first time was when Ric Flair kind of stole it and came over, you know, but now we have it officially here, part of the family, which I always thought was great. And now, those titles are long gone, and we have these new titles have shit history, and it sucks. I remember being in the audience when Finn Balor won the Universal Championship, you know, and thinking, all right, you know, like, that's cool. It even felt like it was meant to be. Like, they, I think they made that title red with the intention of it going with his whole intros and everything. Like, they were, you know, obviously he got hurt and it never happened, but I remember it being exciting when that happened, that entire match and just everything that led into it. And then it almost felt like when the Finn Balor stuff didn't pan out, they just gave up entirely on it. And now we just have two faulty titles.
And then also this thing when it comes to like, why is it every time a new championship comes out, it has to look like the two world titles? They have like five or six belts that look exactly the fucking same, minus the color. Yeah. Like, all the effort's gone. Like, at this point, if you're not on NXT, I don't give a shit about your championships. Because your championship have shit runs.
Exactly. But hopefully that'll change. And now with McIntyre there, and it's funny because you guys know I was never really huge on Drew McIntyre, but whatever. Hopefully
he grew on you somewhat.
You know, we'll, I think there's a chance here for something better at least. It's not really what I wanted, but anything's better than what we had.
I mean, Drew's actually going to wrestle. So we have no, his matches aren't going to end in 5.5 minutes.
I mean,
so like,
to me, Drew, I always looked at him as just a long career of disappointment. And then now, like at the very end, almost after they already made up their mind that they were going to push him, then like he starts, personality started to shine and he started to do more and be more. I mean, say what you want about Jinder Mahal, but Jinder Mahal worked for that world title and you can see that he was trying his hardest to get that run, whereas Drew kind of felt like they gave it to him. And then he started to really deliver because he wasn't really over as a heel. He wasn't over as a babyface at first. And then he really started to push when he saw that they were going to run with it no matter what. And that doesn't mean it can't work because it has been working. They literally just squeezed it in there. You know, they squeezed a circle into a block slot and it fucking worked, you know, but, it's a matter of how is it going to continue to work? And, with that being said, they have a Drew McIntyre backstage thing up. So let's take a look. Oh, it's just him posing. I hate when they do that. They see me posing.
They hate it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the freaking,
yeah,
you know.
They fucking click on that damn camera.
Yeah, how, like, why do those cameras sound like gunshots? I could do that right on my phone. With my phone, is fine. Like,
it's not like an assassin sniping like a bunch of random people. Like, what the fuck?
Like an old-timey photo.
Like a target acquire. Pew, pew. Tango down. Pew, pew.
Yeah. So overall, before we get out of here, what did you guys think of the 2-day event entirely? Any last thoughts on it?
I mean, hey, with no crowd, good job. I mean, they threw me off with a few different things, like the whole. I mean, just one of my personal feelings, the Becky match and the Rhea Ripley match. But everybody did good with what they could do. The Boneyard and the Firefly Funhouses were nice touches because they were completely different from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just like I said, when it comes to the very last match, it's a shame it had to be under these circumstances, but damn it, the kid guy's redemption. And now he's the first ever Scottish WWE champion, and Twitter has been on fire congratulating him. So, yeah, good job, man. You're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely is. All right, well, it's been interesting. You guys, Roxy, Squires, anything? Anything for this event?
I mean, I think I said everything in the beginning. They did what they could, you know?
I think... Sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Thank you. I think that in the 36 years that we've had WrestleMania, we've never had a WrestleMania like this. And you can take from it what you will. But I think that in a few years' time, you're going to look back and you're going to go, do you know what? At least we had something different in a positive way. I mean, it's not the best circumstances. No, there was no fucking audience. There was no big set. There were no grand entrances. But for what it was, I felt like it was special. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. They showed up, you know?
Yeah.
They showed
up. It's a piece of history.
Yeah, it is a piece of history, and it would have literally, it's literally better than nothing. No one has anything else right now. Say what you want about this company, but even the games are being canceled and delayed across the board. Video game industries hit, movie industry hit, sports, everything, everything. And these guys did what they said that they were always there to do, which was to give people an escape when the problems of the world are basically haunting you. So what use would they be? If at a time like this, when people do want that escape from reality, they just couldn't have it.
Exactly. And
I think that it's very commendable that they were able to go out there and put on those matches in those circumstances, under those circumstances, and people even got more comfortable. You can see them evolve into those roles more and more, where the first night became about, going back to Raw and SmackDown, it became about trying to pretend that everything's still the same. Which kind of made it even more obvious that it wasn't. And then eventually, over time, they started to get more and more comfortable with it being the way that it is, as opposed to just being almost in acting denial, you know? And you started seeing that with the way people were interacting, you know? At one point during the women's match, I give Bayley credit for this one. I believe Michael Cole says that Bayley, it was Bayley and Naomi, I think he said, almost got eliminated. And Bayley screams back, "No, we didn't."
you know what, that was one thing I caught on this that was weird. When they would show the replay, you could hear Michael Cole's normal voice over the replay. It was weird because it was like that quiet in there. You could hear him talking.
Yeah, and you could also hear the sound effects in the replay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it was like, and like I said, they did a really good job as far as that kind of stuff goes. Nobody else has done this. And tomorrow there's a Raw. Whoever thought that with the way things are that you'd be able to say that, are you one that's going to happen at the Raw after WrestleMania? You know, because exactly. we do. So we salute you for that. Yeah. Wonderful that you did it.
There's some people out there that talk about some, oh, I'm glad. There's some people out there who say, oh, I'm glad I didn't watch WrestleMania this year. Well, congratulations, dummy. You missed a good fucking show. Like,
I think we can all take something from this weekend more valuable than whether or not our palette of entertainment had been filled. And that's that no matter what the circumstances, you're always going to feel better about your effort if you put maximum effort and just keep grinding. No matter what they throw at you, you know, just keep grinding. It's only when you stop that you feel like you're losing.
Exactly.
True.
That being said, thank you to everyone who tolerated our lame asses for 2 whole days, almost freaking 24 hours of content from top to bottom. All of you guys, Emang and Willie V2 and Six Slayer. Stasis Dreams, Kula, Sugar Shane, Squires, who's in here on the call, actually. But for night one, we thank you for being in the chat room, sir. And Mark 710, Spartan Jesus, Tony Solis 66, LIRJ Unlimited, Fire Striker, Os Broski, Harlem 399, Timotheus 00T, True Solid 74, Good Old Pre, part of our Talk Front family. AJ Crash, Ruggs, haven't seen you in a long time. He's been here since episode 1, so that's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Talk Front Live, episode 376. This is your WrestleMania 36 Night 2 post-show. For myself, Destin, Roxy, and Squires, we are out of here.
Another one in the books. We out here, people.
See you tomorrow.
Shut it down.